is this going to be the last generation or the last couple of generations to sort of carry on the party till the end of it all? Or are we going to say that we'll be able to keep having children and having a safe world, you know, for generations to come?
Hello, welcome to Sustainababble 139.
Welcome yourself all to Sustainababble 139. We are your friendly little environment podcast, didn't we?
Yes.
Yes, we are all about people and the planet and why, despite everything being naused, we can still have a chuckle about it every now and then. And things, well, we're going to talk about how naused things are, aren't we?
Mm, yes, naused. Very naused.
Naused.
Things are naused. Yes, this week we're going to be talking just about one thing, which is a remarkable intervention, if you like, that has happened, which is called the birth strike. I know you've heard all about the school strike and all the rest of it, but this is a different thing. Our guest, Alice Brown, will talk about it at length, but basically this is a group of largely women saying, because climate change is turning things so bad.
Oh, they, and the death of all the animals as well. Not just
and
climate.
Yes, yeah, no, sorry. Yeah. Not only climate change, yes, but the broader kind of Armageddon, yeah, ecologically speaking. Yeah, things are getting so bad that they are choosing to not have children, to not have families. They're deciding now that this is a thing they don't plan to do, despite wanting to do it. So
I'm pledging accordingly. So, you know, the whole point is there's a, you know, they're not just doing it in private, but they are saying this is a thing we are letting you know about.
Absolutely.
Growing numbers,
and it's a very striking intervention that, and as a result there's been lots of press about it, been all over the telly, and obviously assholes on the internet are being nasty about them as well. But we'll get into all of that with Alice. So we should say at the outset, though, it is quite a hardcore topic. We're talking about some very personal things and talking about mental health not being brilliant in response to the unfolding apocalypse. So if you're not up for that sort of thing, perhaps give this episode a skip.
Just the usual disclaimer before any of that. We do work for environmental charities, don't we all?
Yeah, but
these are very much our own views and, of course, Alice's own views. So if you've got any beef with anything that anyone says in the next wee while, take it up with us, but not with anyone for whom we work. Yes?
Absolutely. Okay, so this is our interview with Alice. Fantastic to talk to her. Hope you enjoy listening to it. So, hello, Alice.
Hello, Dave and all.
Hey, Dave and all, in that order.
Shouldn't ever. The universe is wrong when that happens. So thank you very much for speaking to us today. We are talking to you not only because you actually listen to this podcast and have done for a while, but more importantly, because you are one of the main spokespeople and very involved in a thing called birth strike. What's birth strike, Alice?
What's birth strike? So it's a group of people who, well, I guess over varying amounts of time over their lives have decided that they're not going to have children until we decide as a whole world, so our governments and our media or businesses or us as individuals, would basically decide to stop killing ourselves and the planet and drastically start bringing it back to life and putting an end to the disastrous climate trajectory that we're on and the destruction of our ecosystems as a whole. So, yeah.
Is it that you don't want your kids to face the future that you think your kids would face?
Absolutely,
is
yeah.
Is that what it is?
Absolutely. For most people around my age already, you know, it's having a huge toll on mental health, on our choices in life, on our plans for the future. And, you know, the state that the world is in now already, if we imagine our children at the age we're at now, you know, if my kid, when they're 25, 30, what is the world going to look like?
A stark warning from the United Nations Panel on Climate. Unprecedented changes are needed across the world to prevent a temperature rise, which would increase heat waves, flooding.
Like, one of the things that scares me the most personally is the way that we currently treat, you know, other parts of the world and you know, refugees at present. If it's predicted that in just a few decades there's going to be hundreds of millions of climate refugees on the move, what kind of hostile world are we going to live in? You know, how are we in the West going to treat people in a few decades if we carry on this path? And I don't want my child to live in that world, because I already hate living in it myself like this. So
that's a pretty, I don't think anyone listening to the podcast would disagree with the the analysis, yeah, of how bad things both are and are likely to get. Or but it's a massive thing to make a big decision, or not to make a big decision, just to make this decision to decide you are not going to have kids. Like, is that a decision that you came to quickly, or is it something you've thought about for a long time? And is it something that you think you'll continue to kind of reevaluate? Like,
It's certainly something I'll continue to reevaluate. And I think I'm in a better position than many other bus strikers, because I'm 25 at the moment. You know, I've got maybe a decade to see what happens, you know, if we do have a revolution of sort. But to me at the moment, it just feels like a complete no-brainer. And, you know, people keep saying to me about having hope and that things will change and things will get better. But the reality is, you know, this is a hard choice to make, but the situation we're in is really terrifying. And I don't think the choices we make at times reflect really the reality of what, you know, what we're heading into. Like, I'm reading The Uninhabitable Earth at the moment, you know, David Wallace Wells' book. And really, if you sit and take that in, or you sit and take in that the UN are telling us that biodiversity loss is now so severe that it threatens the collapse of nature, that civilization could collapse, you know, as this crisis unfolds. Like, when you look at the world in that way, and not, you know, in your sort of day-to-day life, then, you know, it's actually not as hard to come to a decision like this. But also, I think this as a sort of, whilst it's a choice that many of us have made and we found each other through birth strike, we're coming together under this to actually use it as, you know, a political statement as well. Like, you know, this is not okay. Is this going to be the last generation or the last couple of generations to sort of carry on the party till the end of it all? Or are we going to say that we'll be able to keep having children and having a safe world, you know, for generations to come?
So the birth strike and the declaration then, is it that you're just making a personal statement about your own decision, or are you looking for people to make this decision with you? Are you effectively advocating for other people to choose not to have kids, or is it something different?
Yeah, no, absolutely not advocating for that. It's an extremely personal decision. This is absolutely fundamentally not about population control. Like, I cannot stress that enough. This is purely about men and women feeling genuinely that this world is just not going to be a safe place for our children. And we advocate very much for system change and, you know, change in our consumption and our relationship to the planet, and not through any means of sort of population control. And we are making sure that we're so clear about that, because of course that's even what I've seen in the last couple of weeks, when our message has been misconstrued or people haven't actually read the declaration properly, I've already seen a sort of racist population attitude be expressed by lots of people on the internet, and that's really terrifying, and I know that exists. So we just want to fundamentally get across that this is almost a support group for people who are feeling really depressed about having to come to this decision, and also a political message of, you know, let's make this world safe for us to have children. I think in America there's a group called A Conceivable Future, and I think their name really gets across this sort of movement. That's what it's about. It's about us wanting to create a conceivable future, you know, rather than the opposite. So yeah.
So do you think then that it's that not being born, this is going to sound very indelicate, but like not being born is better than being born into the next 20, 30, 40 years? And that, I know that's an almost impossible question to answer, but I kind of, I don't know, I feel like you could react to birth strike by going, there's so much kind of that's beautiful and amazing about life in and of itself, and of course things are terrifying in many ways, but you know, grab onto life and embrace it. Do you is that your view, that it's better to not be born, or is it not as simple as that?
It's so hard to say, because you know, it's definitely not up to me or anyone to, you know, decide what makes a quality of life. All I can say is that right now, you know, I'm sure it's the same for you guys as well. Like, some days are really dark days, you know, it really is a struggle, and that's just getting worse, and it's crippling me in my own life. How do you guys feel about that?
Well, we were talking about this because back in episode 65, when Ol had baby Ol.
Yeah.
We talked about this. We said, like, and I called him a massive Inhofe and put him in the corner.
Where I still reside, still quite in, happily.
Yes, yeah. Indeed, yeah. And we talked also to James Murray, who has been on this podcast a couple of times. And we had a chat about it, and I can really see both sides of it. You know, I can see the side of it that goes, God bloody hell, it's bad enough for me, never mind bringing someone else. I also think there's, I mean, I suppose it's a question back to you. Like, are you fundamentally optimistic or pessimistic? Because anyone who's kind of does a lot of campaigning says that despite all the dark times, that they hold on to something that is a belief that stuff can get better. So, do you think that? I guess that's the question. Are you optimistic or not? Because I guess that's the answer to the question: is how you feel about the future.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, I used to be optimistic when I kind of started campaigning, and I thought, surely it's just because we just haven't found out the answer yet. And then I realised we have so many answers, but there's such a dark sort of overriding system that we have of the way we live our lives and our society and just, you know, capitalism and consumption, you know, that there's another way of life, but the way we're doing things now is eating up, I feel, any efforts to change anything. And, you know, over the last few years of campaigning, I got so excited every time I see, you know, something being said, or even, you know, the Paris Agreement, or we're going to, you know, there's this huge conservation success. Okay, that's maybe a different situation because that is actions happening. But we're talking in terms of our politics or what companies are saying or these things they're going to do. And the action just, you know, the action just isn't there. I've almost given up feeling hopeful now. And what I've replaced that with, I've not, you know, some days it is hard to get up, but I've replaced that with just being, I've kind of found a sort of courage in myself to, you know, I've been involved with Extinction Rebellion and I'm prepared to do that kind of stuff now, because I feel like the fight of our lives and the fight for our world, you know, it's coming, it's now, it's happening, and we're going to see it over the next couple of years really explode. And if, you know, the people I've met through campaigning and with more direct action stuff, like the people I've met through Extinction Rebellion, I have felt, and seeing the Youth Strike for Climate as well, I've felt a hope that I haven't in a while.
No, I mean, you know this podcast, like, we're a bunch of misery guts.
Yeah.
So we're inclined to think that things aren't going well. But I would...
I do feel slightly responsible.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Perhaps we shouldn't have spent 5 years telling everyone everything's shit.
Well,
It is. But I do think there are some... I genuinely think there are reasons for hope. And I feel... For some reason, I can't really put my finger on it, but I feel like in the last kind of 6 months or so, I've sort of turned a corner a bit, at least in my own kind of mental health in response to this. Like, every report I read is as terrifying, more terrifying than the last one, clearly. But in a sense, it doesn't change it. None of these reports change anything anymore. We've got, as you say, the fight of our lives on our hands. We have to win, and that requires massive action at every level. We're just at the beginning. I know totally that. Sorry, I don't know. I'm just ranting here, but
I'm very much enjoying our conversation with our guest.
Yeah, sorry.
My God, are you still talking?
Yeah, maybe I'm trying to kid myself. I don't know.
The problem is to me that I can't see that, because They're not even talking about it. And even if they respond to these things, you know, they are so, our government anyway, are so deep rooted in this system where, you know, they even were saying the other day in response to the school strike for climate that they're going to launch this, what was it, a review into the economic benefits of biodiversity. They can only speak that language. You know, why can't
Claxons,
they...
Claxons left, right and centre for that stuff.
Pig! Ha! You will regret your insolence, revolutionary dog! Dog! Ha! You will regret your arrogance, right?
Well, like, so do you guys see what's happening at the moment as something different to what's happened since your careers and your campaigning began? Because I don't have much to reference at my age, but what would you say?
I think it's a really good question, that, because sometimes you get so swept up in the day-to-day stodge of everything, and there's so much stodge, and, you know, politicians stodging, and then you take a look back and you look at, I still remember, just that the thing that I think gives me more optimism than anything else is, a handful of months ago, nobody had heard of Greta Thunberg. A handful of months ago,
including Philip Schofield,
including Philip bloody Schofield, right?
Do you think Greta was alive when Philip was doing Gordon the Gopher?
He's about to go on holiday to the prairie, are you not? Yes, going to see his huge family, so the very best of luck. Hopefully we'll see you on the... He's got a very big Hollywood contract.
I don't think I was, because I've never heard of Gordon the Gopher either.
Oh, my God. Oh, we're so old. Right. YouTube Gordon the Gopher.
Okay.
We're so old. I mean, that is a reference from about 25 years ago, actually, thinking about it.
Some stuff is changing, and The thing that is good about social media and about the fact there are more people is you can more quickly get ideas around the place faster. And I think also there's something in our politics at the moment that feels different to how it's felt for a long time. It's not just Brexit and Trump and all of the scary populism stuff, but just this sense, I think, of a kind of anger that you're expressing really well. But you're feeling it all over the place, right? Just this sense of, we're not going to put up with this anymore. And I find that hugely inspirational. That is a thing that I haven't really felt, certainly in my time of doing this. It's been, most of the time I've been doing it, it's been worrying about lines on bloody graphs and technocratic stuff. And now it's about people going, no, like, do something about it. And that is optimistic.
Yeah, let's hope so.
Do you have a sense, Alice, of what... You've talked sort of in broad terms, I guess, about wanting to feel that this is being taken seriously. Mm. Do you have a sense... Is there anything Theresa May, who, let's face it, is having a tough week...
...on the Brexit deal? On that day, Parliament sent a message. The deal needed to change.
Is there anything she could say, maybe on Monday, we'll give her the weekend off?
What, to get her voice back?
Get her voice back. is there anything a politician could say to you right now that would give you that hope and change your mind? Or is it about something deeper than that?
Something so much deeper. Nothing that, you know, politics to me at the moment is about saying, you know, and that's it. It ends there. And I don't mean all politics, but, you know, the government that we have at the moment. I don't trust those words. I just don't, you know. I mean, maybe if we had a green government, or we had, you know, Green New Deal, or we just kick them all out, have a revolution and replace them with a citizens' assembly, like Extinction Rebellion are asking for, you know, maybe that will be the start of the new politics that puts our planet and other species and a safe climate and just a safer and fairer and wilder world at its heart. But at the moment, we don't have that. And there's not a single bone in my body that trusts, you know, what is said by our government about, you know, the planet. I don't know. Maybe I've just become completely hopeless, but that is the way I feel.
It's a little early for me to be giving you advice, but I just want to end with this. I think you should have children. I think they solve a lot of problems and put things in perspective. You seem like a nice person.
We don't
person.
Have time.
I bet you love it.
We don't have time.
Yes, we do. There's always time. Well, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Let's talk about the bus strike kind of declaration itself. I'm really fascinated to know, like, how your family and your close friends have reacted to that, because it's an inherently an incredibly personal thing that you've put out in the public domain, but it is a decision which has an impact on other people as well. Like, what have people said?
You know, for my family, it's like, you know, that is a totally massive deal that you're saying this. And that's when I get to explain to them, yes, this situation that we are in is a totally massive deal for reasons A, B, and C. And it really opens their kind of mind up to understanding really what's going on. Like, in our day-to-day decision-making, like, it's such a big deal. But when you zoom out to a macro level and realise that we live on this tiny blue dot in space where the physics of what keeps us alive is just getting absolutely gnawed to pieces, that is the situation that we're in. And then you zoom it back into the living room of your friends and family and say, yeah, this is where we are. And actually the response, you know, when my family or my mum, for example, was upset about this decision, you know, I said, yeah, you should be upset about this. You should be upset at what's got us here. And you know, the people and the system that is leading us into this future where I truly feel like I cannot bring a child into it. That is where the sadness and anger should be redirected. You know, I've seen comments coming in on Twitter saying that, you know, this kind of thing might or is terrifying people, and you know, anger being directed at me and other birth strikers about this being, that we are terrifying them.
What, you've actually had people saying, you are the problem here?
Yeah, exactly. Well, and that's the thing is, nothing that we're saying about the situation we're in is exaggerated or, you know, has a hidden agenda or whatever. It is the situation we're in. So what people really, I think, are saying, maybe even subconsciously they haven't realised, is actually, yes, this situation is so upsetting and so terrifying. Not the fact that I've made this decision. Yes, it is on a personal level, but that's when we get into, yeah, well, actually, this, what we're doing now is ruining everything, you know?
Tell us about, I don't know if this story is true, but I read in the Times article about bird strike, the story about your dad's reaction. Yeah. Is that accurate?
And it's
is
a true story.
Well, tell us what it is.
So what happened? Well, it's really quite amazing what's happened with my dad in regards to my family's reaction. And that's that I sort of broke down to him one morning about the situation that we're in, and it just kind of, it started off with being given a disposable coffee cup when I didn't ask for one and it launched into the plastic pollution crisis, just deep down to everything that is wrong with the world. And my dad was kind of just left stunned, you know, saying, oh, surely it's going to be okay, and, you know, don't worry, or just, do we need to get you to a doctor?
Do you want that coffee, or
but what he did was he kind of went away for the weekend, and he came back by the end of the weekend. He was like, you know, I cannot believe how terrifying the situation that we're in is. And I also told him about, because I was also upset that day that I couldn't make it to Extinction Rebellion's Declaration Day. I told him all about that stuff and the activism, and he came back to me and said, look, I'm prepared to go all the way with this. I'm prepared to get arrested for this, and, you know, even further, I'm prepared to go to prison if that's what it takes. And so we went together to an action day in Bristol, a rebellion day, and we spray painted wash off chalk spray, along with another group of activists, the extinction symbol on DEFRA's governmental building in Bristol, and got arrested together. And he's been back a few times since and poured fake blood over Downing Street the other week. Didn't get arrested for that.
Amazing.
Yeah, so you know, he's totally reevaluated everything. Like, and I mean everything in his life. You know, he's thinking about the future now for his family, where they're going to live, you know, what the next few decades are going to be like, how he can be most effective in solving this. So it's great to have his support and someone close to me that understands, you know, those deep sort of dark days that us that are kind of working this or campaigning this, you know, the way we're feeling at the moment. So, yeah.
Wow. Gee, Dad's a hero.
What'd you say, son?
Nothing.
The thing that keeps me going, and literally at times as well, is imagining...
Sustainable.
is imagining, you know... imagining sort of a revolution and imagining a rewilded sort of world. Like if I can imagine myself in 20 years, you know, with my family and my kids, you know, it would just be like in this wilder world where, you know, we have all these species back in this country and the climate situation has stabilized and we've come out of this the other end with just a fairer and safer and happier sort of system. And yes, you know, I definitely, there's about 5% of me maybe that can imagine us getting there. But I think the main thing is if this action from the people, you know, not from our government, the sort of genuine people power that's going on right now, if this can be sustained and people don't burn out and we don't give up and we're just in the streets week after week, you know, refusing to accept this future for ourselves and work, you know, coming together as the people to demand this sort of safer future, then yeah, I've got about 5% hope from that, and hopefully over the coming months and the rest of this year, you know, who knows, it could all change. I hope so.
Alice, thank you so, so much for coming to chat to us and, well, more importantly, for doing what you're doing. I think it's an amazing, amazing thing to be doing, a brave thing to be doing, and I think it's having a huge impact. So, yeah, all power to you for doing that. If people want to get involved with Birth Strike or otherwise follow you, like, what's the way that they should do that?
Yeah, so that if they're just on Twitter, if they just go at Birth Strike, they'll find us. And the same on Facebook, we have a sort of closed support group. So that's one that's not open to sort of the public outside Birth Strike, because that's more of a safe space to chat about this stuff. But if you're just sort of interested in seeing a bit more about it, head to the Twitter. And also if you type in Birth Strike on Tumblr, you'll find us there as well.
Cool. Thank you very much, Alice, and hope you enjoy listening to yourself back.
I won't be, but thank you.
Brilliant. Speak to you soon.
Thanks so much. Bye.
So, Dave, What about that then?
What about that? Firstly, that was brave. Thank you, Alice. The whole thing is brave. The whole thing is gives you food for thought, don't it? That there was moments in that when my thought was exceptionally well fed, which makes a change from talking to you about stuff. So thank you very much, Alice.
Your usually horribly malnourished brain.
Do you feel like this? I don't know. What it makes you think about is being miserable. It's made me think about being miserable. I am a curmudgeonly old bastard, as you know. Oh,
although you know my theory about that, don't you? Is that underneath it?
I'm a cuddly bar.
That it's all an act.
Yes, yeah. And you know my response, which is it isn't. It really isn't. But do you think actually there is a responsibility upon people who feel a bit blue about this stuff upon occasion not to spread that feeling of blueness? And to sort of make things not, because other people listen to feelings of blueness and then they get blue. And then before you know where you are, everyone's blue and then no one's doing anything. Now, Alice is doing something, but it just made me think about like despair and how you should voice that and how we should voice it. What do you reckon?
Oh, it's a bit like that episode on apathy that we did and like what works, you know, it's not like that, because this is what Alice is talking about is a profound personal feeling. It's not a campaigning tactic. I mean, there have been, you know, they're clearly making a strategic political intervention by doing Birth Strike. Like, you know, it's not an accident. It's not that just sort of scribbled something on the internet. It's a concerted point, but it is a profound personal feeling and an outpouring of that. And it's very honest. And I think that should be applauded. Yeah, that's the reality of all sorts of bits of this debate. Did you just drop your headphones in a glass of water?
No.
Wow, it was so clumsy. So clumsy.
Just before we did this recording, I said to Ol, can we buy some new microphones?
Yeah.
And you said no, because you would be looking after them.
Yeah, I'll let you have a Fisher-Price microphone, but nothing more expensive.
You've never even played it.
You just bought it.
Don't touch it. Don't touch it.
I wasn't going to touch it.
No, don't touch it.
I was just pointing at it.
Well, don't point even.
Don't even point.
No. Look, I mean, this is going to keep happening. Climate change is already doing horrific things to large and increasing numbers of people, and we've got to recognise that. You can't not name it. You can't shy away from it. But if we want people to act and do all the things that Alice thinks needs to happen, then I don't think despair is going to be the thing that ultimately drives them. But that's just my opinion. Like I've found that despair is suffocating. Personally, this is like I'm very despairing about things, but I found it suffocating and it stops me doing things.
And I just wanted to say, just before we spoke to Alice, Patrick Barkham on Twitter just did a tweet that basically said, the only antidote to environmental rage and despair, he said, is action. When I take action, I immediately feel a million times better about me and my species. And, that's it, isn't it? Like, whenever I despair about anything at all, whether it be like that rattly noise coming out my window or the sound of my knees as I go up the stairs or global Armageddon, I find that if I... I find that if I get up and do something about it, even if there's a little voice inside me says, not enough... I still feel better.
Yeah.
And what else you got, Ol? Get up and do something. You! Stop doing what you're doing. Get up and do something.
I mean, that advice holds true throughout all day, every day. Just do anything. Do something. God's Stop sake. Procrastinating.
Stop it.
Do something.
I'm not talking to the listener.
I know.
Do something.
I know. Do something.
Do something.
Oh, something. Anything. But the stuff that really gets me down in the dumps is when I'm reading, you know, another Guardian article about another scientific report about another horrific environmental trend. And then on top of that, when I, you know, and that gets me into a state and I think, oh God, this is appalling. What? Oh God, oh God, oh God. And then I go outside and no one else appears to be worried about it. And I talk to all of my closest friends and they don't want to talk about it, and they're talking about other things and they seem fine. And so it's I think that's what is causing despair. And actually listening to a little podcast and realizing that some other people are worried about this too, let alone getting involved in activism, is one of the things that helps, because you're like, I'm not alone. There are other people who care about this. And I guess that's one of the brilliant things about Birth Strike. Like, Alice and others have found that by putting a statement out there, there are other people who go, yeah, me too. Like, I agree. And like that, I hope, helps in terms of how Alice and other people feel about it. Because at least, you know, at least you're not alone. So that is just about it for another episode of Babbel. Thank you very, very, very much, Alice, for talking to us. And thank you, Dave, for talking.
You're quite welcome. Quite welcome. Thank you. Yeah, wonderful stuff. Thanks, Alice. You can get in touch with us, can't you all?
Yes.
You can tell us what you thought of the show. You can email us at hello@sustainababble.fish. We read everything what comes in, even though that stuff from that crazy American mailing list we've got onto. We read all of that. We don't reply to everything because we haven't got time. You can drop us a tweet on the Twitter at the Babbel Wagon.
So close. This whole thing is teetering on the edge.
Search for us on Facebook by looking for Sustainababble. Yes.
You know, if you ever listen to Just a Minute when they haven't got anything, they're just waiting for their head to come up with something else and put just enough gap between each word to stop Nicholas Parsons interrupting.
Yes, shut up. Thank you, as always, to the wonderful Dickie Moore for the music that starts, ends and intertwinkles this here podcast, to the legendary Arthur Stovall for the logo that adorns it, and our website and our t-shirts, which
I went on our website to see if we'd sold any t-shirts recently, and we have
actually sold some actual t-shirts. And thank you to everyone who is chipping in a bit of money via Patreon to help with the funding of this here Babbel, including getting our website to be less shit, which we're sorry about, and we're working on that. We know there's been a few download trouble things. Basically Babbel too popular. Creaky website can't cope, getting better website, that's what's happening. Thank you to Carly Beaver, to Howard Smith and to James Lord, who have all chipped in since the last time we recorded.
Yeah, you're amazing. Thank you. And if you want to do likewise, go to www.patreon.com. This is the bit you didn't say. /sustainababble. That's patreon.com/sustainababble.
Very good. Yes. Right, that'll do it for this week. Oh, I shall see you next week for episode 140. What you're up to?
Well, I mean, I'm fascinated to know whether there's still a government in the UK or still a Brexit. I mean, stuff's getting quite gnarly.
Well, I mean, so Alice might have secured a global revolution by this time next week.
Exactly.
So hopefully we help with that as well. Right, until then, bye.
Bye.